on this Fusion Sunday. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time here, we are so glad you found your way to this worshiping community. Check out your bulletin. There are all sorts of announcements and a calendar in there, and also a little something to do in worship, but we'll talk more about that later. It is a Fusion Sunday today, so that means our children will remain in worship with us. And just a note of a reminder to encourage one another as we are gathered in worship to make sure that all ages are participating, including holding those hymnals where the smaller folks in our life can see them. We are also going to be ordaining and installing our elders and officers today. There will be an opportunity during the service where everyone will be invited to come forward to lay hands on one another. Please note that little announcement in your bulletin to take that bulletin with you when you go do that, because we will then circle up together around the sanctuary to sing the closing hymn. So if there are some folks who have some mobility troubles, you're welcome to stay in your pew and you can just scooch to the edge, and that way we're all together. Two other announcements. One, the potluck is following worship today. Even if you didn't bring any food, please join us. We're happy to have you. The congregational meeting is now a congregational conversation, and that will take place after the potluck, and it'll be very short today. So come on down, let's eat. Kids will go to junior choir, and we will remain together. Please also note in your bulletin the need for school supplies for our mission team as we head to Jamaica in February. One other announcement.
Good morning. Looking at the lack of snow, you'd not know that at the end of this coming week, we start February. And February is one of the 4 months that GPC serves a meal at St. Joseph's. So the sign-up sheet will be on the board as usual. Usually in February, the junior highs take care of serving, but because of small numbers and some of the key people that help them out being in Jamaica, we're going to be short people to help them serve. So look up the sign-up sheet for Saturday for helping to serve, and if you can, help the junior highs out. So we've got food donations and your time on Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. And now let us prepare. Oh, I've got one more. Come on up, Keith.
I just wanted to share, I heard through the grapevine, it's very exciting, I think, to many of us. Our old church has got a new life started. It's being remodeled, and it's going to be a training center for tradespeople. A young man here in our community has had that vision. He was able to purchase the church and has started that project. There's an open house there this Friday at 6 to 8 for you to come and just hear what he's got in store for that building and get involved possibly. That's the full extent of what I know. I do have a flyer that I can give you a copy if you're interested. Just run me down after church. Thanks.
Thanks for reminding, Mickey. All right, and now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please stand and join in the call to worship. Christ is calling us as disciples.
Lord Jesus, let us follow you faithfully.
We will be led into fields of mission and service.
Lord Jesus, where you lead us, we will go.
Listen for Christ's call to us.
We are ready to serve the Lord. Amen.
In this time of worship, we gather all that we are, all that we have been, and all that we will ever be, trusting in a God who loves us no matter what. Let us join our voices together in the prayer of confession. God, we thank you for calling us onward and celebrate with those who hear your call and follow your ways of love, compassion, and justice. But we confess sometimes it can be hard to leave things behind. Things like hurts and grief, disappointment or success, unhealthy relationships and practices. We acknowledge that there for all of us, there is something we need to leave behind to move forward. Join together with shouts of joy. Raise your voice, clap, and sing. God's love and grace are always with us. Thank you.
and sing, join together, hearts that smile and our voices raise. Clap and sing, join together, shout with joy, and clap and sing, join together, hearts as one with our voices raise. Clap and sing, join together, shout with joy, and clap your hands. Rise with the sun overhead, and new possibilities waiting. Excited to be where spirits are free, another new day.
Our hands in worship every now and then. At this time, the children are invited to come forward. All right, can we scooch just a little bit closer, because I've got something for you to see. So today, I am so glad that you all get to stay in worship with us the whole entire time. As always, my favorite Sunday when you all are here with us through worship. And today, the story that we are going to be talking about is a pretty familiar one. You may have even talked about it in Sunday school last week. I'm not sure. Did you guys talk about fishermen on the Sea of Galilee last week? I'm getting some head nods, so you already might even know this story a little bit. So when you imagine the Sea of Galilee in your brain, do you imagine a little sea or a great big one? What do you see? A great big one. Like so big you can't see across the other side. See, you know what? I used to imagine the Sea of Galilee that way too, that it was so big because there were so many storms and the fishermen. But you know what? I went there last year, and you want to know what? I was a little disappointed. It's actually not that big. So it is, think more, have you been to the Finger Lakes? A little bit more like those. You can see across the other side. So today I just wanted to show you a picture so that you could see also what it looked like. Let's see if it's going to behave. So this is a picture of the Sea of Galilee as I'm in the middle of it. Okay. It's really not that big. I don't think you could swim across to the other side. But you could definitely stand on one side and see the land on the other. And this is the sea that Jesus, when he began his ministry, he went to this sea and he went to talk to some men who were fishing. I also got to see this boat that they believe was probably not the ones that the first disciples used, but it was definitely from that time. You see how it's made of wood, and it just sits in the water just like that, not like a big speedboat or yacht or anything that we often see, a very simple wooden boat. And this is what the first disciples, when they decided to follow Jesus, what they left behind. In your bulletin today, you all will see a piece of paper, okay? You're going to make a boat out of it. It's not going to look like that, I promise. But you do the best you can with it. So during the sermon, you are welcome to fold those pieces of paper. And I would like you and the whole congregation to think about, so what do you think you need to leave behind to follow Jesus? It's a pretty open question. I'm not going to give you much more direction on it, because I think it's something that you can think about in your head and your heart. There's no right or wrong answers, and then write it on the boat that you make. If you need new pieces of paper, true for the congregation as well, there are more bulletins in the back, and at any time today, you can get up and you can go get some more pieces of paper to make your boat. Does that sound like a deal? A deal? Yes? So true, it is a little bit little and a little bit big. That's exactly right. Just like you guys. Not real little, but not real big. A little bit little and a little bit big. There's a whole sermon in that one, isn't there? All right, let us pray. Dear God, thank you for calling the disciples. Help us to learn how to follow you. Amen. All right, go start on those boats. Do you want to sit with me or the Lord?
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 111, the psalm that the Right Reverend Richard Wolseley of the Church of England called the Psalm of Praise and Enlightenment. Hear now the words of the psalmist. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty in his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding, and his praise endures forever.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe in the good news." And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me. I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. It's good. I hear you already have started on those blank pieces of paper in your bulletin. So I'm sure you have found the directions as well. And, well, if not, good for you. Way to branch out and make your own boat. But let me tell you, if you are terrible at origami, like me, just give it a go anyway as I'm preaching. Because, you know, the connection to the text and the making of the boats, that's pretty obvious. But notice in the instructions that I am asking you to go just a little bit deeper here, too. As you listen and you fold, keep folding, let me hear it. Consider the question. What do I need to leave behind to follow God's call? And just write your answers on the boat. You might have more than one, and that's great, as many responses will fit on the boat, and you have the same invitation I gave to the children. If you want to make more than one boat, there's more bulletins in the back. Go ahead and grab them. But you know what? You also might have no idea what to write. And that's okay, too. But do notice that I didn't ask you what you need to give up. There's a difference. I asked you what you need to leave behind. Because when I ask that question, what you need to give up, it almost makes it sound like I'm asking you to confess what New Year's resolution you've already bailed on and are hoping to get back to. That's not the purpose here. I really, chocolate, salty snacks, that's all good. See, I'm going with the New Revised Standard Version translation, the one we read today, about this very familiar story of Jesus and that call to those first disciples. Jesus invited Simon and Andrew, James and John, and Zebedee to follow him. Now, four out of the five left something behind to follow Jesus. See, one of the challenges that comes from preaching a familiar text like this one, in our minds, we're already drawing conclusions. Sermons, Sunday school lessons have often depicted these four men, these first disciples in Mark's gospel, as sacrificial individuals willing to give up everything to follow Jesus. Their families, their jobs as fishermen, all to follow. But here's something I've been thinking about lately. So what if Simon and Andrew, James and John, what if they didn't have a healthy relationship with their father or their family? Or what if they didn't like fishing? Seriously. What if they didn't like it? What if fishing for them was something they had to do, a necessity, something they did for survival? Fishing in Galilee was a family trade. You fished because your father fished and your sons fished if you fished. And really, living under the Empire of Rome, you didn't have the possibility to explore other possibilities for your life. Children did not wonder what they were going to be when they grew up. You were born into your job and seen as a unit of production rather than a person. So the fact that these fishermen had probably always known they would be fishermen just like their fathers, as well as the reality of how difficult Rome has made their lives. They're just making enough money to scrape by, but never enough to get ahead. And so, what if fishing was something that they really hated? They even resented it. It changes the nature of that question a little bit about what if leaving behind the nets, the boats, was something they did because they really just couldn't imagine any other possibilities for their life other than the ways that they've always done it. And we know that there's comfort in choosing that way, even when all the signs point to the fact that living that way is no longer working. You see, then this man, Jesus, he comes along. And in Mark's gospel, you really haven't missed much if you didn't read the verses coming up to this story, because there isn't much to read. According to Mark, the only things that Jesus has done this far in ministry was to go down in the water, come up, and wander in the wilderness for a little while. His name is on the lips of no one, except probably his mother's. But if you had asked Simon and Andrew, James and John the day before, who is Jesus, they may have even looked at you and said, Jesus who? And yet here we are in this moment as they all sat in their boats, mending their nets, getting ready to go back out, and along comes this stranger named Jesus. Mark tells us that Jesus sees them, tells them to follow, and he will take all that they have grown accustomed to and invite them to leave it behind. To leave behind resentment and assumptions, to leave behind the fear and lack of imagination, to leave that behind and follow him. I'm not sure if you noticed in the story, though, that not all the fishermen were ready to follow God's call. Zebedee is a very interesting character in this story. We don't know much about him other than he was the father of James and John, and he too was a fisherman, and in fact, we never hear about him again. But for some reason, unlike his sons, Zebedee was unwilling, unable to leave behind the nets and boats to follow Jesus. Lots of theories come up about that as well, but I also wonder here, did Zebedee think that he was just too old to try something new? Did he clutch his net and stay in that boat because deep down he just couldn't imagine any other possibilities for his life? He'd been doing it this way for so long. This is what he knew. He'd become used to being seen as marginal, inferior. He learned to accept that he didn't have any other choice about what he could do or when he could do it. It was the way that it was. The way that life had always been. The way that he thought his life would always be. And that grind of everyday living had captured Zebedee's imagination years and years before, and he let the cynicism and apathy take over. I
can't help but think that there probably was a day in Zebedee's life at some point that he was open to newness, to redefinition, to the adventures of discipleship, but really, no one had ever pushed him on it, or even offered him the invitation to try. No one ever suggested a different life or a different way to understand himself, not his family or his friends, and probably not his community of faith if he had one. And over time, all those cracks of possibilities simply smoothed over and hardened and seemed to disappear, and he grew numb, passive, choosing to hang on to that boat and that net no matter what came calling. I think aptly one of my colleagues recently wondered how many of us identify with Zebedee these days more than we do the sons. How many of us feel that pervasive numbness, feeling overwhelmed with what is happening, not just in the world, but our families, culture, and church. We hang on tight then to what we know, what is comfortable and safe, what's best for me. And we struggle to imagine what we even need to leave behind, to reignite our imaginations for what could be, should be, for life in God's world. I think it's precisely in the midst of this struggle, of not being sure what we should write on that boat, not quite being sure what we need to let go of, but knowing deep in our heart that something has to change, that this now is where God shows up and invites us to follow. Jesus responds to this situation with a sense of urgency, speaking boldly about the nearness of God. And he beckons us beyond the point of familiarity, asking us to risk doing something that we don't always know how to do, become someone we're not yet sure we know how to be. And it's not just that we're taking a risk on Christ. Each and every time he calls, he's taking a risk on us too. May it be so now and always. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hang on to those boats. Please don't put them in the offering plate. We will bring them forward when we lay hands on the elders and the deacons, and we will place them on the communion table at that point. But let us now gather our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern. One over here and one back here.
Ed Coons.
Last Thursday, Kathy and I celebrated 43 years of marriage.
Yeah.
That small event makes Kathy the living example of persistence.
Amen.
Thank God.
Good morning, Eric Bale. I just asked for prayers for my mother, who's having knee replacement surgery in Florida tomorrow, and then, of course, rehab after that. Hopefully she'll be a good patient, which sometimes she's not. And prayers for my father, the caregiver, as well. So thank you.
Prayers. Hands over here and one here.
Velta Rushan, I just bring greetings to you all from St. Philip's Presbyterian Church in Houston and the Reverend Omar Rushan. This city is on its mend, and even though you could visibly see the destruction, it was wonderful to be there for 2 weeks, even though the weather followed me to Houston.
Oh.
But the city is doing well, and thank you for your continued prayers.
Good. And continued prayers for Houston, Puerto Rico, other communities that were impacted by hurricanes this summer.
Hi, good morning. Barb Snaith. A few days ago, I reached out to Ginny Ryan from Channel 13. Her mom sits in this area, and I hadn't seen her in church. And come to find out, she had a pacemaker put in, and she had some complications, but she's at St. John's. And Ginny said when she's up to it, she will bring her to church because she's missing us.
Amen.
So prayers for Virginia.
Prayers
Thank you.
For Virginia. Go ahead, Gordon.
Gordon Chapman. My friend Wendell back here is going to have surgery tomorrow, and he would like you to pray for him. He's a little concerned about it.
Prayers. And we also have prayers this morning for Peter Derry, who continues his care and recovery from a stroke at Strong, and also for Sonia Davis, who fell and broke her arm. Let us pray together. Lord, you have come to the lakeshore looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. You only ask us to follow humbly. These words from this lovely hymn paint pictures of hardworking people, O God, going about their daily tasks as they are confronted by Jesus. This same Jesus who long ago called to those first disciples calls to us each and every day. Our lakeshores are different. They are the places where we work and where we live, yet in this song, your Son continues to come for each one of us, just as we are and inviting us to follow him humbly. We have lifted the names of loved ones today in prayerful petition for your healing love. We have uttered in our hearts names and situations that it would break our hearts to speak of, but we are confident you hear all our cries and respond in love. This is one of the faithful works of your church, the work of prayer, asking for healing, mercy, and blessings. As we have offered our prayers, let us also offer our lives, trusting in your love and call to us, responding with confidence. For it is in Jesus' name we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. At this time, let us receive the morning offering. Mm-hmm. with me unless you'd like to.
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't think so.
We lift up our prayer to Almighty God, a God of unceasing generosity. Help us to recognize the gifts that oftentimes go beyond our understanding. The gift of our lives, the love of our friends and our family, the gifts of our skills and our traits and our professions that allow us to provide food for our families, shelter, and a way of life for which we are eternally grateful. God, we present these gifts to you, a modest return for all that you have given to us. Let us ever be mindful of the greatest gift you have given us, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's join together in the liturgy for the ordination and installation of our officers this morning. Please join with me. For in Christ we are made one, and we all belong to each other.
We have different gifts according to the grace God has.
If your gift is to hear God's word,
speak it out.
If your gift is service,
give it to serve others.
If your gift is the heart of a teacher,
teach what is true.
We celebrate our individual gifts and affirm that we are all called in all things
to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, today we celebrate in the name of Christ our commitment to nurture and support, to sustain the spiritual gifts of all gathered.
May we be joined together this day in living out a shared ministry which emulates the life and witness of Christ.
Holy God, bless this covenant of people ministering together. Responding to the promise of our baptism, may we witness your gifts in one another, and may we grow together in joy and wisdom as we venture forth praising your Spirit. Amen.
At this time, I'm going to call forward by name those who are elected to serve as elders and deacons and trustees, and I'm going to have those folks make a half circle here around the table. Please bring your bulletin with you and your boat if you want to deposit it on the table. Those who are serving as elders, Whit Beckett, Bruce Taylor, in spirit this morning, Peter Derry, Linda Beatty, Eric Vail, I hope they're all, there we go, Carrie Dykes, Keith Hadley, Bridget Wohlers, Kathy Wakeman, and Colton Crane. So this includes folks who have recommitted to another term serving on session, and also the deacons, Keith Morgan, Kay Harder, Carol Caffey, Barb Snaith, Laura Nolan, Dana Hart. All right, so if I can have the deacons over on this side, that would be great. And then we'll fill our half circle here with the trustees, Gordon Chapman, Jason Taylor, Roger Best, Ed Coons, Mary Hadley, Abby Jarvis. And also re-elected to serve as our treasurer, Tracy Berkovich, re-elected to serve as our financial secretary, Vicki Gutile. All right, thank you. You guys did a great job. I wanted to make sure that no one was on the outside of this circle. What an incredible circle this is. Friends, I'm going to ask all of you to answer the following questions. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, and acknowledge him Lord of all, head of the church, through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be by the Holy Spirit the unique, authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressions of the confession of our church, as authentic, reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you? And will you? All right. Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you? Will you be governed by our church's polity? Will you abide by its discipline, and will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you? Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to love your neighbors, to work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? Do you promise to further the peace and unity and purity of the church? Do you? And will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? To the newly elected elders, will you be faithful elders, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church and in your ministry? Will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? And for us, the church, do we accept Whit Beckett and Bruce Taylor, Peter Derry, Linda Beatty, Eric Vail, Carrie Dykes, Keith Hadley, Bridget Wohlers, Kathy Wakeman, and Colton Crane as elders chosen by God,
through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ. Do we?
Do.
And do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we? Good. Deacons, will you be faithful deacons, teaching charity, urging concern, directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? And do we, the members of this church, except Keith Morgan, Kay Harder, Carol Caffey, Barb Snaith, Laura Nolan, and Dana Hart, as deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we? Do we also agree to encourage them to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we with that too? Trustees, you all don't have any questions. You get off a little easier. Congregation, we still have questions. Because we need to determine if we accept Gordon Chapman and Jason Taylor, Roger Best, Ed Koons, Mary Hadley, Abby Jarvis, Tracy Berkovich, and Vicki Gutile as trustees and officers chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ, fulfilling their fiduciary responsibilities. Do we? Do we agree to encourage them to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we? You all are now trustees, officers, elders, deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the life of Christ in this world. And we have a special opportunity this morning, as one of our elders and one of our deacons have not yet been ordained. Dana and Colton, you all are going to step right over here. It's okay, I promise. All right. And then this circle is going to come and lay hands on the newly ordained. And this begins the first kind of ring of ordination and laying on of hands. But I always believe that the laying on of hands is something that is powerful and comes from God alone and invites all of us to empower and uphold each other in ministry. So as you are comfortable and able, if you want to come forward and place your boats on the table and lay your hands on this the outer ring here, you are welcome to do so. If you're not comfortable or would prefer to stay in your seats, you're welcome to, or you can also come and sit maybe just a little bit closer to the edge here. So reach out for a shoulder that is nearest to you. We are all connected. And let us pray. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Colton and Dana, that they may be faithful elders and deacons in the church. Give them wisdom, courage, humility, and compassion to serve as the spiritual leaders of this family of faith. In all things, may they be servant leaders following Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life to set others free. Amen. So now we're just going to take a few steps back. You know what? Nah, let's just sing right here. Okay. All right. I kind of like, yeah. Let's do that. Hopefully everyone brought your bulletin. In here. What great power. It's gathered together in this room, circled here, confident in the love and grace of our Lord that friends will go with us. Take this with you out into the world, knowing that God's love is indeed enfolding us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we serve, goes with us. And the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us on this journey will be with us now and always. Alleluia. Amen. So now we can go down to Fellowship Hall and everyone get your food. We've prayed. We've done lots of praying. So get your food. If you wouldn't mind letting some of the little ones go first so they can eat and go down to junior choir, and then we'll begin our time together. So let us go.